How about turning to the book of Genesis, chapter 4? Genesis, chapter 4. As I was looking and have been looking at the book of Genesis, and I want to entitle this evening, "In Sin Did My Mother Conceive Me." In sin did my mother conceive me. And that's taken from Psalms 51 and 5. Let's read. So we'll start reading with verse 1. "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me." I'm going to stop reading there at the end of verse 14, but let us go once again to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful, God, for the goodness of you and for the mercy of you. Lord, we know that in this service, as in all services, unless you move in the service, that nothing's going to happen. All is vain and all is void. Lord, I pray, Father, that your Spirit might anoint the service. I pray, Father, that you might help us, that we would worship you in the beauty of holiness, that we would draw close unto you to honor you and to magnify your name. Lord, if there's one that is lost, I pray, Father, that you would touch them, and God, that you'd help them, that they would see where they're at, see their need of a Savior. Also, we pray, Father, for each family. We realize that there's an attack on the family such as there's never been before. I pray, God, just meet their needs in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was reading this, and particularly in the first four chapters, I was noticing how it mentions in chapter 1, it's just the name of God, God spoken of. In chapters 2 and 3, it's the Lord God. And then in chapter 4, it's the Lord. And so what he lets us know in all of this is that this is the Lord that is in charge of his creation. He's the Almighty. He's the one that set everything in motion. He's the one that declares what sin is. He's the one that declares when a man is saved. You see, salvation is of the Lord. And so we come to this passage of Scripture. And as I was reading in a book, and the author made this statement, and he said, this incident determined the destiny of two men. And it did. It determined both the destiny of Cain and also of Abel. Now, we want to notice in this some little simple things. First of all, is we notice that there is the conception and the birth of each one of these. Now, first of all, the Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. So she has gotten a man. Apparently, this was the first child that they had had. If they had had another one, it would probably have been a girl, something or another. But anyhow, this is probably the first child that they have had. And she's thankful unto God for getting a baby, having a baby. And by the way, this is the first time that she's going to conceive and bring forth a son in sorrow after the fall of Adam and Eve. And so here's her son. She's thankful unto him, to the Lord for him, and every parent is for their child. But also, we see this. She believed that she had conceived a special seed and that he might be the Messiah. Because back in Genesis 3:15, the Bible says there, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so we see there that here's the conception of Cain. The Bible says in Psalms 127 and verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb his reward. So it is a blessing, and I have a child. So we find there that it was the son, Cain, that was born. Then I want you to notice, there's the conception of another child. And this child is Abel. We find that the word Cain means gotten. And she had gotten a man from the Lord. And then there's the conception and the birth of the boy. I know some folk I've read this, and that they believe that there were twins. I really don't buy that, and because it puts it in two different incidents. I think there were brothers and could have been a few years apart. I really don't know. May have just been a year apart, something like that. But at any rate, we see that Abel is born, and his name means a vanity or vapor. And somebody said that this was that Eve fully realized the curse that was upon her, that life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. And so we find there that in this, that Eve puts no real purpose on Abel's life. She says, has no big speech about him. He's just born, and he's just another child at this particular time. And so we find there that that people may not put much emphasis on a person, but I want to tell you something. God puts great emphasis on all children that are born into this world. You see, they are a living soul. And they may be gotten after the image of their parents, but their parents, Adam and Eve, was made in the image of God. And every individual is a living soul made in the image of God. And so we find there that that in this, it's interesting to note that here's Cain and Abel, and they're a picture of the first birth and of the new birth that is needed. You see, God has rejected the first and accepted the second. Adam failed, but the last Adam succeeded in what he intended. Cain failed, But Abel succeeded in that. And our first birth fails, but God's prepared a new birth, and it does succeed in all that receive that new birth. And so we find that there's the conception. Then secondly, I want you to notice that there's the nature of these two boys. The Bible says in verse 3 that Abel was a keeper of the sheep and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And now, the nature of these boys was different. And so, one's a tiller of the ground, Cain is. And by the way, there is nothing wrong with his occupation. He was a farmer. And God sent his daddy out, Adam, to till the ground. And but Abel's occupation was different from either one of them. And he was a keeper of the sheep. Now, sheep was important because later it's going to be that Jesus Christ is going to be the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. So we can see that God starts to establish a pattern right here in this that it's going to be by blood. He's done and established that by the covering that he put on Adam and Eve. How that he clothed them with skin, probably a lamb skin. There had to be bloodshed in that very thing. So, but there was nothing wrong with this occupation that he had. He was just a tiller of the ground. But here comes, and it starts in this, the third thing, and that is that there is their offering. And in their offering, they start to differ. Now, when we come to this offering, sometimes it's said, men will say, I was reading Henry Morris, and he made the statement, and he said that they may have offered many times, and they might have. I wouldn't argue with you at how many times that they have offered sacrifices. But what strikes me is that this is the first time that it is mentioned. Now, let's put the picture of these two men right here. And they are grown men because they have chose an occupation. How old was Adam and Eve at this present time? We really don't know. We do know that when Seth was born, that Adam was 130 years old at that particular time. So they may have been 25, 30 years older than what Seth was. May have been even older than that. We just do not know. But they were grown men. And what God is doing right here at this present time is that he's bringing them to make a decision of which direction that they're going to go. Are they going to accept, in this case, offer the sacrifice, which was a blood sacrifice, or are they going to offer a sacrifice that is a bloodless sacrifice? Now, it matters because God is the respecter, God is the inspector of what we offer unto the Lord. None of those things that we offer, if it's not pleasing unto God, amounts to a hill of beans. You see, if God rejects it and refuses it, then it's vain and void. It's worthless before man. And so the Bible makes a statement that each one of them brought. Now, if you look at this, you will see that Abel brought of the firstling of the flock and of the fat thereof. Now, we see that this was probably some kind of burnt offering for sin. And he brought it, and all of this would have been consumed at this time because they ate no meat at this time. So all of it would have been burnt upon the altar as a burnt sacrifice, a sin offering. And so he brought this, and if there had been sacrifices before, Cain might have brought one because this is the time that he was rejected, that God had respect or had not respect unto Cain's offering. And so we find there that here's the offering of Cain. Now, Cain And the Bible lets us know, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was wroth, and his countenance failed. Now we know there that he brought of the fruit of the ground. And we can suppose this. Now let's do suppose for just a moment that it was the best one. Let's suppose that it was a first fruit offering. Now, I don't know that because the Bible doesn't say it. But I do think that it was probably the best that he had to offer. Now, do you know what it was? If it was a first fruit offering, it would have been more of a tithe type offering that he was bringing. Now, how many folk do you know that wants to come before God, they bring their money before God, and they give their tithes, and they think that that's sufficient? I had a fellow to tell me just the other day. He said, I gave my mother's church, and he goes to church occasionally. He's very well off. But he said, I gave my mother's church a sum of money, which was a Methodist church, and that they might reach out and touch some young people. And I suppose they have, because he said that there's coming. But what he's looking at is this. Is that he's saying, because I gave, it holds some kind of merit in the sight of God. It's going to impress God by what I have given. And how many folk thinks that because they give their money, or maybe they give their time, energy, and effort, maybe they give something else, that it's going to impress God. I'll tell you something. Tithes and offering is right appropriately. And this offering at another stage might have been appropriate if it would have been like a free will offering of the fruits, first fruits of the ground, which is mentioned just a little later. It would have been appropriate for a time like that. So what I'm saying is this. Is you could give to God something that at another time might be appropriate, but at this present time, because it is a picture of salvation, and salvation is only by blood, it's inappropriate, and God does not respect it. God rejects it. And that's what happened. Now I want to say this. I've had folk to tell me, and they'll say, well, I do good. I got one particular fella, he's told me, he said, I've educated two or three people. And he has, he sent them to college. And if he likes you, he really likes you. And if he don't like you, he's pretty out to cuss you out. And but that's the type of fella that he is. But what he's depending on is his works. Now, he's offering to God, I'm doing this, my works through my money, and God, I want you to accept that. It's rejected. God said that it is by blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. God has never saved anybody by what they have given. God has saved every man by blood, and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our personal Savior. And so we find there that he brought this. Now, if you'll notice Abel, he brought of the flock, a firstling of the flock, and of the fat thereof. It's interesting to note the details of this right here. All right, it was a flock. How did they know to bring a lamb? All right, how did he know to offer the fat? The fat didn't emphasize up until you get the law. That's how did he know that? God had told him. That's the only way that he could have known it. So what is happening right here is this, is that Cain and Abel have specific instructions, and they have instructions from God. And by the way, you can find over in the book of Matthew, I believe it is, that it talked about the prophets and the possibility that Abel was a prophet. That means that God I would have given him special instructions in the will of God. It may have come to the place that Cain didn't want to hear Abel no more. And what he's doing is he's shutting out Abel. I'm telling you, it is a dangerous thing to get to shutting out the Word of God. And you, most of the time, people will pick on the preacher, the minister, and they'll say, because of him, I don't want to hear. But hey, in reality, it is because of God's Word, and you are responsible to God's Word to hear God's Word, no matter who's speaking it. So there is there's the Word of God. Now, Cain brought of the fat thereof, so God had spoken and had given clear instructions. And he just simply come to the place, and you know what this was right here? This is a first class rebellion against God and his word. Now I want to tell you something. If you don't come God's way, you can blame it on anybody and everybody you want to. But if you don't come to the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your personal Savior, you know what it is? It's a first-class rebellion on your part. Especially when you know the truth. Because the truth is able to set you free. And God has set forth the truth unto mankind. And so, we see this. Now, Cain, we see now that, man, he's angry. The Bible says that he's very wroth. He not only has a fallen nature, but now he has a fallen countenance. Do you ever hear these complaints? Well, I would go to church, but you know, it's an old slaughterhouse religion. All they preach about is being born again. You see, what happens is they get a fallen nature by birth. But then, after a while, they get a fallen countenance. They don't want to listen unto God, and they have rebelled against God. They have refused to walk with God. So Cain, his countenance fallen, God approaches him. Now, as God approaches him, we see that there's something that happens. The Bible says in verse 6, and Cain said unto the Lord, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? He asked him two questions. He said, why are you mad? You knew what I wanted. Why are you so down and out? And why is it showing up in your walk and your talk and your actions? Why is this thing happening? Your countenance is fallen. So he approaches him. You want me to tell you something? I think God approaches a lot of people. I used to think this. And I don't believe that conviction is in churches like it was many years ago. I think as the days have gone on, that men have rebelled and gotten harder against God. So God's not convicting like he used to. He's offended at what lot happens. But at any rate, we see this, that God approaches him. And he questions him. Why, Cain? Why? And I'm telling you, God deals with people. There's a young man come to our church about, he ain't been down 3 or 4 months, and he may not come back. But the simple truth is that I could see conviction on his face. I was preaching on Noah. And son, I tell you, he sat on this side, and he was one miserable dude. And he was bothered up one side. Well, his girlfriend, she made a profession of faith, and she told us that he was bothered. That's how I really know it. But I could tell it before that. And she said, he's in the same state that I am, and she admitted that she was lost. And she made a profession of faith. But you see, people would rather have their will, their way, their pleasures, rather than get right with God. And they risked eternity to have 60, 70, or 80 years of pleasure upon this earth. And it's just simply not worth it. And so God comes to where he's at. And the Bible lets us know that he approached him. Now, I want you to notice this. God's a God of second chances. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted. What he's doing is he's telling Cain, he's saying, Cain, if you'll go and you'll get a lamb and you'll bring that lamb, I will accept it. It was so simple for Cain had to do these things right. And he had another opportunity. Aren't you glad that God's a God of the second opportunity? Anybody here ever get saved the first time God ever dealt with you? Did you get saved the second time? Most of us, it was a way down the line in the number of times that God had dealt with us and we got right with God. Well, I'm glad that God is a merciful God and that He shows great mercy toward us who are fallen creatures. But He's still pointing Cain toward the same thing. You've got to come by a blood sacrifice. There is no other way. And that's what he's letting him know. And so Cain goes from rebellion to murder. He goes out into the field and he talks with his brother. And apparently he goes to where Abel's at, out to the flocks. He goes out into the field. He talks in the field and he becomes a murderer in the field. The field's a type of the world. If you don't get right with God, you'll be out in the world worse than you've ever been before. You see, rejection of the gospel don't leave you the same way. You'll get harder and harder. And you'll get more, people gets more violent as they go out into the world, more wicked, get off on drugs and alcohol and sex and all of those things like that. You do not stay the same after rejecting the word of God. You don't stay the same. And so we find that he went out there and then he become a murderer. As he become a murderer, I want you to notice God changes from the God of the second chance of another opportunity to the God of a curse. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Look what he says. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is thy brother Abel? And we find there that he was cursed because of all of this. Now, what is it? Well, we find that this was what God done. All right? He sent him from where his parents was, from the presence of the Lord, basically is what it was, into the land of Nod. You see, the presence of the Lord was where his parents was at. Eve believed God, Adam believed God, and Abel is dead at this present time. And he goes out from the presence of the Lord to the land of Nod. Do you know, we never have no record of him ever seeing his parents again. And it wasn't nothing to do with his parents. I think he probably still cared greatly about his parents. But what he was so still upset about was God. God's demand of bringing a blood sacrifice. He'd rather live in sin and go out and live that way. I heard this little story. It's been some time ago and it happened. I believe it was in Iowa. And a preacher said that he was preaching a revival at a church out there. And he said, the pastor said, let's go see farmer so-and-so. And he said, we went out to see him, and he said he was way out in a great big field of corn working in it. And he said he's on his tractor, and he said we walked through that field. And we got out to where he was at, and he stopped. And he said we got talking to him about the Lord. And he said that he stopped us and he asked this question. If I get right with God, does that mean that I have to get right with a brother that he had an ought against? And he told him, yeah. And he made a statement. He said, I'd rather die and go to hell first. But I'll tell you something. The way people live, that's their attitude. That's their action. They may not say it openly, but I'm telling you, these people walking out of churches everywhere. They're walking away from God. They're walking away from the mercy of God. And they end up a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, wandering to and fro. Not satisfied at anything and can't have no peace in their heart. Because there is no peace to the wicked, saith my God. So there he went. And he, now I want you to notice his complaint. He said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He didn't mention nothing about Cain's or Abel being killed. What he wanted was God to be lenient on him. And that's true of all sinners. They want special leniency from God in their situation while they continue on in their sin. And it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But notice this. When I look at Cain and he's driven from his parents and from the presence of the Lord, and he goes off into the land of Nod. And one of the things that really strikes me, and by the way, this is to parents right here, is he took a wife with him. Listen to me. You men kick out on God and you're married, there's a good chance you're going to take a wife with you. There's a good chance of it. Now, I know that there are some women that are strong enough, but how many folk of you hear that it's like this? They married this particular person and they used to go to church, and after a period of time, they don't even go to church. They're off in alcohol. They're off in other things. They're off in sin. And you talk to them and they say, well, I used to go to church. I used to try to live right. Then you say, what happened? Well, so-and-so come along and the pleasures of sin and the pressures of that person rested hard upon them and it got them out into the world. But the simple truth is you rebel against God, you lead somebody else in that direction. And the person that is closest to you is your spouse. Now, Cain's decision affected his wife. And I don't know if she's saved, but there's no indication she was. You see, I had a fellow tell me this one time. And he said, my decisions only hurts me. Oh, how wrong that is. There is somebody else watching you. There is children about you. If you're a grandparent, you have grandchildren. And they're watching you. Your decisions affect especially your family and also other people. Now I say this to all the parents that are here. You better bow yourself before God because this is an eternal matter. There's not an ifs, ands, and but about it. Every person in this building and outside of this building and in this world is going to stand before God and give an account. The lost will give account at the great white throne judgment and the saved at the judgment bar of Christ. But I'll tell you something, you will stand before God and you will give an account unto God. You can blame it on anybody else, but folk, the day you decide, the day you make a decision to go away from God, you are held responsible. It wasn't somebody else that made that decision for you. It was you. And so I'm encouraging you this evening, before you ever get to that place, stay in church. Pray. Be tender. Be holy. Be separated. Be dedicated unto God. Take your children to church. Be real. Be a Christian. You be that. But it goes even worse. Cain had a son, his name was Enos, in the land of Nod, away from God. And apparently, this boy never heard anything of God except the negative. Parents, if you put the negative about God and the church before your children, you'll ruin them. You'll ruin them. Cain's son. Oh, Cain was really successful financially and in the building after he left and went into the land of Nod. The Bible said he built a city, not just a house, but a city. And he named it after his son. He was ambitious and he was successful. And to build a city means this, that he would have had to probably employ some others to help. It means that he would have had to have ways and means to build that city. Oh, he was so successful, but he had left God. He was far from God. He'd left his presence. He'd left his offering. He'd left the altar. He'd left the sacrificing. He'd left everything about God. He'd left the Word of God. He was so far from it. You say, does it stop there? No. His grandchildren grew up in that environment. And one of his grandchildren, it's mentioned the first polygamy. And one of his grandchildren, one of them become a murderer also. You see what sin breeds? In sin did my mother conceive me. You see, it takes us further away from God than we want to go. Cost us more than we want to pay. Sin is an awful enemy, but we become servants to sin. And that's what he told Cain the day he walked out. He said, the door's before you. And he said, sin lieth at the door. You want to know what it was just like? It was just like a lion laying at the door. It was ready that when he walked through that door of rebellion and said no to God, it was going to leap on him. And it did. And it did. And he paid an awful price and never even realized it. His family paid an awful price and never even knew much about God. Somebody made a statement to me the other day and they said, you reckon his son and his grandchildren ever asked about his mother and his daddy? They may have never seen them. We don't know. What did they ever ask or did they ever worship any kind? There's no indication that they did. He left God. But I'll tell you something. There come a day that Cain died. And the Bible says, and he was of that wicked one. And Cain went into a hell. And as far as we know, it may have been one of the first ones that ever entered into an awful lake of fire or hell in the heart of the earth to be there. And he's still there. And you know what Cain's saying? I walked out on God. I rebelled against God. I refused to walk with God. And this is now my punishment, separation from God for all eternity. Folk, it's a serious price. This is a serious matter, not only for yourself, but for your family. It's time that we as God's people got on fire for God and yielded unto him. Let us stand.